If you have not been with us for the past couple weeks, you're coming at a good point. But there's also a couple things that that we've talked about for the last couple weeks that I'll just catch you up to speed on. So we are in the third of 3 weeks of a series called Refocus, like John talked about, where we are looking at the vision and mission of YAF, of the Young Adult Fellowship. And we're doing this for a number of reasons. It's good to sort of periodically stop and kind of remind ourselves of why we do what we do, of what it is that we're after, what we're trying to accomplish. But also, this group is a group that changes with quite a degree of regularity. So, just for fun, raise your hand if you've been here for more than 4 years. Whoa. The faithful few. Look at that. Okay. You guys can put your hands down. 3 years, but not four. Anyone fall into that category? Okay. 2 years. Few hands. 1 year, 1 to 2 years. Some in there. 6 months. Okay. So now raise your hand if you've been here for less than 6 months. Less than 3 months. Less than 1 month. And if tonight's your first night, welcome, guys. Great to have you here. So we have a great combination of people who have been around for a while and people for who this place is brand new. So it's great. It's great that you all are here, and it's awesome that we get to take some time tonight to continue reminding us of what is our vision. And the last 2 weeks, we have we've kind of dissected this sentence together, which is our vision statement. That YAF is a group of young adults striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And we've talked about that this is our goal. This is what we're after. This is what we're doing here. This is, when we think about vision, we think about the future. And we say, if we could look to some point in the future and we could set up that situation to be anything that we want it to be, what would we do? And we're saying, well, what we're trying to do here as this group is we are trying to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's the what. Then we looked at last week, why. Why is it, and we didn't specifically ask, why is it that we're trying to become fully devoted followers of Jesus? We talked about that a little bit, but rather we talked about why is it that we meet together? Why is it that we meet together as a church? Why is it that we meet together as a young adult fellowship in particular? And we looked at some of the benefits, both of integrating in with the rest of the body and what happens when we do that, and also of separating out a little bit and taking time to meet together here on Thursdays or in small groups with other young adults. And we saw how being able to be in relationship with people who are in a similar stage of life has a lot of benefits for us, in terms of being able to wrestle through issues together. We're asking the same sort of questions. We're facing the same sorts of problems. And as we gather together with people in a similar stage of life, it provides a very natural way to ask those questions together and to help each other answer those questions and to explore the scriptures with an eye specifically towards those issues that we as young adults are dealing with. So that's some of what we've talked about for the last couple weeks. And if you've missed that, those are online. You can find our podcast through our website if you want to check those out. But tonight, we're going to wrap up this series by asking another question. We've asked what, we've asked why, and tonight, we're going to ask how. So whereas before we were looking at our vision, we were looking at the future, now tonight we're going to stop and we're going to look at the present. And we're going to say, what are the things that we can be doing now that help us get to where we want to be? What are the things that we ought to be doing now that help us to become fully devoted followers of Jesus? And there's lots of things that we could say. There's lots of things that we could do. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this next sentence, which is our mission statement. That's the how we do what we do. And that is to say, so if we look at our vision, we're trying to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. We do this by gathering for worship, living in community, serving our church, and loving our world. So we're going to stop tonight, and we're gonna look at those four things and how it is that those four things, what do we mean by those things, and then how do they actually help us to become fully devoted followers of Jesus? If you haven't met me yet, I guess I should have introduced myself. My name is Dan. I'm the young adults pastor here at PBC. And that's my wife, Lindsay, in the back. Everyone wave to Lindsay. Lindsay is about 8.5 months pregnant, which is awesome. So we're going to have a little baby boy in about a month. And over the last several months, we've been getting ready for him in a number of ways, one of which is getting the nursery ready. And a few weeks ago, we had ordered a dresser, and it was one of those, like, much assembly required kind of dressers, you know? So I go to set it up, and those things are so aggravating, because I just give you a little Allen wrench, you know, to tighten all these screws, but the place you have to put your hand is never, like, really big enough to get a full turn, so make, like, these little quarter turns, and it takes, like, so many of them to get everything tightened. So I'm doing this, and I knew it was going to take a while, but it's coming together, and I get sort of the whole frame built, and then I start assembling the drawers that are going to go in this thing, and I build the first drawer, and it's looking pretty good, and I go to slide it in, and I realize that I forgot one step, one critical step, which was the support bars that, like, go across the front of it to hold the drawers. You know, there's always, like, a piece of wood in between each drawer. I forgot to put those in. So I go to put this first drawer in, and obviously it's not going to work. There's nothing to hang it on. And I thought, well, what a stupid design. And I realized, well, the design wasn't actually that faulty. The problem was that this came with a little instruction booklet, right? It shows you all the steps to put this thing together. And I got that. I was like, oh, this is really nice. For some people, right? They probably need this little... I took it out. I kind of referenced it to make sure I had all the pieces. And I even was kind of paging through it as I went, but I wasn't really reading it. And the problem with that is that step number 7, or whatever it was to put in these slats. And I had forgot to do that. So now at this point, I have to undo about 50% of what I've done in order to actually get these things in there. And it took me probably an extra, like, 45 minutes to go back and do this step. But the problem was that I had not looked at the instructions, right? I had a vision of what this thing was supposed to look like, what this dresser was supposed to look like. And I knew why I wanted to build it, right? This was going to hold all of baby's clothes. We had all these clothes that we had gotten and nowhere to put them. I was like, it's going to be great to be able to put them away. So I knew what I wanted, and I knew why it was important. But I didn't look at the instructions, the assembly instructions. I didn't have a mission in the terms that we're talking about tonight. I didn't look at the steps that were required to get me to where I needed to be. So tonight what we're doing is we're going to treat this sentence somewhat as some assembly instructions. Some instructions that we want to look at to help us understand how is it that we get from where we are to where we want to be. How do we actually go about becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus? So as I said, this is a four-part mission, four-part mission statement. And there are definitely other things that we could say, and we're actually going to talk about that in our small groups. How would you change this? Would you add anything? Would you take anything away? But these are the things that I've pulled together that I think summarize pretty well some of the big concepts that we want to have down as we think about our mission and how it is that we actually realize our vision. So, with that in mind, the first one. The first thing that we do in our journey towards becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus is to gather for worship. As we think about worship, there's so many different concepts that might come to mind, but I imagine that for most of us, when we hear worship, we think what we just got done doing, right? Coming together and singing songs that maybe we're familiar with, or maybe we're not, but there are these songs that we gather together and we sing. And that is worship, but worship is much more broad than just singing. There's different ways that we could try to understand what worship is, but Louis Giglio is a pastor, and he said that worship is our response to what we value the most. So he's not saying it's our response to God necessarily, but worship is our response to what we value the most. And as a result, worship fuels our actions, becoming the driving force of all that we do. So worship is a foundation for us, because what we worship, and that could be a number of different things, whatever it is that we happen to value the most, that's going to drive everything that we do as individuals and as a community. Whatever the thing is that we say this is the most valuable, we end up orienting our lives and making decisions based on this value that we hold. So as Christians, we want to say, well, we worship God. We worship Jesus. We worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we want to value him the most. So to take this and make it more specific to Christian worship, John Piper has said that true worship is valuing or treasuring, another way of saying that, God above all things. Valuing or treasuring God above all things. So when I say that part of the process, maybe the first part of the process of becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus is to gather for worship, what I mean is that it's to come together in groups like this on a Thursday night, or in a small group, or it could even be just an informal gathering of friends, of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we come together and we help each other worship God. We help each other value God more. And one of the ways that we do that is by singing to him. And that's what we did earlier tonight. And when we read the Psalms, which is basically a book of worship songs, these are lyrics to the worship songs of the ancient Israelites. And they would gather together and they would sing these. And if we look at Psalm 1... There we go. Psalm 145, it doesn't want to stick up on the board, but there it is. We look at Psalm 145, and here we have the psalmist worshiping God and talking about doing that. He says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. So that's just talking about he's coming together and he's praising the name of the Lord, singing praises, shouting praises to the name of God. But then what does he say next? He says, one generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. So we have this kind of two-part thing where the psalmist talks about him praising God and lifting up the name of the Lord. But then he says that this is something that happens together in community. He says one generation tells another about the great things that God has done. Why would you do that? Because you want to help other people to understand who God is and what he's done and how amazing he is, so that they too will come to value God above all things. So a huge part of the process of us learning to worship, learning to value God more than everything else, is coming together with other people who value God. And as we see people doing this, and as we rub shoulders with them, it encourages us to do the same thing. And I think this is a particularly important message for people in our time and in our culture, because when you think about the various elements of church, you have usually some singing. You have reading the word. You have listening to a sermon. Maybe communion. Those are all things that you could do at home on your couch, in your pajamas, with your computer. Right? All of those things are things that you could just stay home on a Sunday morning. And you could pull up your favorite worship songs and you could sing them out. And you could pull up a sermon, a really great sermon that somebody has preached. And you could listen to that and you could be edified by that. And you could even take communion if you wanted to there on your couch. But what you can't do and what you miss out on if you do that is the people who are sitting next to you. Is other people who are trying to grow as disciples of Christ. Other people who are trying to figure out, what does it mean to really value God above everything else? What are the things that I might value more than God? And when we come together in community, we help each other see that. And the collective energy of people gathering for worship is hugely catalytic in us as individuals growing as disciples of Christ. When we're spending time with other people, gathering for worship, yes, to sing, but also to read the scriptures and to hear them preached and to take communion together, all of these things that help turn our affections to God and orient us towards Him so that we learn to value Him as He ought to be valued. So kind of the foundational thing, the starting point for us as we think about growing as disciples of Christ is to say we need to gather together to worship. We need to gather together and rub shoulders with other people who are valuing God. Lindsay and I had some friends in town this past weekend. They were friends from Chicago, and they had never been out here before. They actually don't travel much at all, so there's a lot of the world that they haven't seen. And having them out here was so much fun, because everywhere that we went, and we went a lot of places, we went to San Francisco, we went to like all of the tech companies that you could list off that are around here. Well, not all of that. All the big ones that people like want to come and see. And we're taking pictures in front of all the signs and just every little thing that was like different from home, they were just fascinated by this. Like, this place is so cool. And it kind of reminded me a bit of what it was like when I first got here. Like, because if you grew up here or you've been here for a while, this place is weird. I'm telling you, this is a weird place. It's not like the rest of the world here. But once you've been here for a while, it just becomes normal, right? It just becomes ordinary. And when you drive past a Google sign, you don't think about it, much less stop and take a picture of it, right? You just keep on driving because it's just normal. It's just life. The same thing, though, happens in our relationship with God, right? God is this amazing thing. Much, much more amazing than this place, right? He's so amazing. He's so beautiful. He's so glorious. But He can become routine. And we can lose sight of how amazing He is. But when we gather together and we worship Him, we remind each other how great God is, how valuable He is. So that needs to be the starting point for us as we think about growing as disciples of Christ. The next thing is living in community. We want to live in community with each other. So by this, I'm not just talking about gathering together, which implies that we were apart and then we came together for a specific something and now we're going to go at the end of the night. You all are going to go from here. You're not going to stay. That we do want to gather together regularly. But we want to do more than that with each other. We want to live life with each other, in community with each other. And that doesn't just mean showing up at the same place at the same time, but it means trying to build relationships with each other. Build relationships with each other that are unique, that in some ways draw us closer to Jesus. Not just friendships, not just hanging out with people because we have something in common, but the kind of relationships where you're really able to let these people see your worst. And we can't do that with everybody, right? When we gather here, that is appropriate in to a certain extent, but we're not all going to get up here in the front and be as vulnerable with everybody as we possibly could be. If you're new, we're not going to ask you to do that tonight. Don't worry. But our hope is that we are all in relationships with people, in community with people, where they really do know the worst about us. And they know the best about us. Because if we're trying to become like Jesus, we need people who actually know us well enough to be able to tell us if we're becoming more like him. We need them to be able to see the good parts of us and encourage those and say, hey, you know, I saw you exercise humility in this way the other day, and I just want to say that was really amazing, and I'm glad to see that you did that, and I don't think I would have seen you do that a year ago. And we want to be in those kind of relationships with people where they can recognize those good things about us and encourage them in us and say, yes, do more. Do that more often. But we also want to be in relationships with people where they see the bad things about us. And when we're not acting Christ-like, that they're actually willing to say something about it. Because that can be a pretty uncomfortable thing to do. Right? It's not a very politically correct thing to call people out and to correct them on something. We want to have the kinds of relationships with each other where we're seeing the good and we're encouraging it, and we're seeing the bad and we're calling it out and saying, I think we can be better, right? I think we can do better than this in Christ. And then we talk about how that works together. That can happen here on a Thursday, and I hope that we have some of those conversations here, but realistically, it's pretty hard to develop those relationships in a room of 50 people, right? It's pretty hard to just show up here once a week and end up really living life in community with people. So what I'm talking about here, it goes beyond this meeting, right? And it branches out into the rest of your week and into the rest of your life. And a great way to do that is to get plugged into a small group. We have a few different YAF small groups that meet right now. And some of them have some openings and others don't. But we also want to encourage people to be willing to step up and say, you know, maybe I could lead a small group. Maybe this is something I could do. It's really not that complicated. It's just pulling some people together. And you can discuss Sunday's sermon or Thursday's sermon, or you can go through a book of the Bible together and talk about it. So YAF has a culture and a history, and this kind of is the character of PBC, of things happening sort of very organically. So if you've been here for a while and you're like, man, how come no one's asking me to be in a small group? It might be time for you to start a small group, right? To think about, well, who else do I know who maybe I could pull together? And we could get together and start to journey down this road of doing life together. But we also want to help you guys get connected with small groups. So I mentioned it in the email that I sent out earlier this week. I'm going to put a link up at the end of tonight so that you can all take out your phones right now and go there. But we've created a form just to figure out who's interested in joining a small group. Who's interested in taking one night a week, or maybe it's every other week, depending on the group, and committing for a period of time to take time out of your schedule to be with those people. So if that's something you're interested in, when I put the link up later, or I'll send it out in another email this coming week, go on there and fill out that form. And that doesn't commit you to being in a small group. We're not going to take those names and place you in a group, and you're going to get there and be like, oh, this is, I don't know about these people, and be stuck there. No, it's not going to happen like that. We're just going to see who's interested. And then with the groups that we have that have openings, we'll try to connect some of you with them. And there's a spot on there to indicate whether or not you might be willing to lead a small group. And we're just going to try to help people form into these groups where they can start meeting together on a regular basis in order to pray together and to worship together and to study together in an attempt to really live life together in community as a way of becoming more devoted followers of Jesus. So if you're not in a small group, I would really encourage you to go and fill out that form. And then we're going to work together as a group to try to get whoever's interested into a small group that works for them. So that will come up a little bit later. So living life in community is the second thing. The third thing, serve our church. As I was trying to formulate and crystallize this mission statement, I got to this last part. The first two parts came pretty quick, right? Worship and community are really central things. And then I started thinking, okay, what else do we need to include in here? What are the other things that are important? And I started thinking about kind of three different directions that we want to be oriented. We want to be oriented upward in worship towards God. We want to be oriented inward, thinking about community. And then we want to be oriented outward, thinking about those outside of our community. So this third one, our fourth one is love the world. So that's very much outward focused. This third one, serve our church, is kind of right in between inward and outward. Because what we're doing with this is we're saying we want to be thinking outside of this group here. We want to be thinking outside of the young adult fellowship. But we still want to spend some time thinking about the rest of the church. And that's an inward-focused thing. So this one kind of sits right in between the middle. We want to serve our church. When we look at the life of Jesus, if you were to talk about list maybe five character qualities that stand out about Jesus, without a doubt, service, being a servant, would be, if not the top, it's going to be way up there. And this is what Jesus says about the reason that he came. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus, this same God who we gather together to worship, who we are trying to learn to value above everything else, this beautiful, glorious God, Jesus Christ, he came down to earth not as a powerful king, but as a servant to give himself for people. And in doing that, he set an example for us about the way that we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to both love and serve the church and our world. So these last two categories, serve our church, love our world, doesn't mean that we're not supposed to love our church, doesn't mean that we're not supposed to serve the world. But I say it this way because there is an extra sort of impetus for us to be serving our church, because this is the community that God has placed us in. And there are a lot of needs within the body of Christ, and we see a lot of commands in Scripture that are directed towards believers, towards people inside the church, talking about sort of an extra degree of love and service that goes towards people in the church, to building up the church, caring for the church, looking out for people in the church. And as young adults, I think we are in particular danger of missing this critical step. Because as young adults, I think it's very easy for us to become self-focused. Right? We're in a period of our life where a lot of our energy is going towards kind of building ourselves, investing in yourself, whether it's in school or whether it's in the early part of your career. We spend a lot of time and energy kind of investing in ourselves and in our future. And we spend a lot more time doing things that are just fun, right? Because we have more flexibility than people in other stages of life. So I think one of the cautions that we need to have is that in this stage of life, we are particularly prone to being focused inward on ourselves. And we need to try extra hard. We need to be extra conscious to be looking out and to serving others. So there are so many ways that we could be serving our church. But I just want to talk about one again that we've mentioned for the last couple weeks. We have Harvest Fest coming up. And we've talked a little bit about what this is, but this is an incredible opportunity for us to serve our church. We're looking to get 100 volunteers from our church who can commit on October 22nd to showing up to East Palo Alto Charter School and helping to put on this event that's probably going to be for 1,000 people. Both our families from our church that are going to bring their kids to this carnival type event where they get to come and have fun and they get to play fun games and be with each other and they get to hear a gospel presentation. But they need a lot of help in putting on this event. This is a great way for us as young adults, those without kids, to be able to say, hey, let's step up and let's serve the rest of our church by giving our time that week. So if you've thought about doing this already and you've already taken steps in that direction, that's great. If you've heard about this and thought, that sounds kind of weird, I don't know, I'm not really into fall, California doesn't even really have fall anyway, so I don't know about this. Whatever you're thinking, I just want to encourage you, really take some time to consider whether this might be something that you could get involved in. Whether you might be willing to give up a few hours on a Saturday to come and to serve the families of our church. And the reason that I bring this up here is because this is a great transition into loving our world. Because we're going to have all of the families from East Palo Alto Charter School, that's where we're holding this year, all of them are invited. And their principal, when we asked, said that we were allowed to do a puppet show that would present the gospel at this school to all of these kids, many of whom who have probably never heard the gospel. So this event, Harvest Fest, is a chance for us to be actively engaged in introducing people to Jesus for the first time. A really easy way to show up and help some people learn about Jesus and to learn about our church and maybe to come and get connected with our church. Because in addition to serving our church, as we kind of move on to this fourth thing, we are called as believers to love the world. Kind of the basic posture that we're supposed to have towards the world is a posture of love. That's kind of the most basic thing about Christianity, is this command to love. To love each other, yes, but to love the world. And this gets tricky because, as Jesus points out in John 17, he's praying for Christians. And he says, as he's praying, I've given them your word, and the world hates them. So we're supposed to love the world. That's what we're talking about. But this is the world that we find ourselves in. A world that hates us, for, Jesus continues, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So what Jesus has in mind here is he's recognizing the fact that we are in the world, that we have been placed in this world, but yet there is some distinction between the church and the world. Right? There's a distinction between those of us who follow Jesus and those of us who don't. And that world, we're told, is a world that hates us. Maybe we've experienced that in some way. You've felt that. Maybe not. Jesus isn't saying that every person in the world hates every person who's a Christian. But what he's saying is that the world, as sort of a structure, is opposed to the church and the things of God, and it's trying to work against it. And it's that very same world that Jesus stepped into. And it's that very same world that Jesus sent us out into with the command to love and with the command to make disciples of people. And he sends us out into that world. So as we think about becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus, we might find worship, gathering for worship, fairly comfortable, right? It's an easy, natural, comfortable thing to do. Living life in community with each other, That's challenging, but it's familiar. It's comfortable. Right, serving our church. Yeah, we're stepping out. We're giving our time. But again, it's still inward focus. But in this last category, as we think out, we are having to step out into a world that here we're told hates us, that is against us. And we go with the command to love. So my question is, what does it look like to love the world? What is it that we're supposed to go out into the world and do? Let me just kind of divide it into two categories of things, broadly speaking. We are supposed to proclaim the good news and engage in good works. We're supposed to preach the gospel, and we're supposed to do good things for people. We're supposed to care about people's souls and try to do what we can to introduce them to a relationship with Jesus so that they can have eternal life. And we're supposed to do what we can to make their lives here in this world better and free of pain and suffering and injustice. So this is, again, broadly speaking, evangelism and social justice. This is what it looks like to love the world, to proclaim the good news and to engage in good works. So those are the things that we're supposed to do as we go out into this world. It's a holistic thing. And there's lots of different ways that we could do that, right? Harvest Fest is one opportunity to participate in an event where the good news will be proclaimed. There are lots of other ways to do that with your coworkers, with your neighbors, just starting spiritual conversations with people, talking about the things that they value and sharing the things that you value, and just doing that through relationships with people. When we think about engaging in good works, that might be, maybe that's easier for you, but maybe that's harder, and you wonder, well, what does it look like for me to do that? So let me just suggest a couple things. One thing that you could do is to get involved in an after-school program, to tutor people, to tutor students, to spend time with them and help them study. I know that we are a group who is positioned well to do something like that. That could be something that you do. Beautiful Day is another example of something that as a church we've said we want to commit to doing this. That's a day where once a year we cancel services here on a Sunday morning and all day Saturday and all day Sunday we go out into the schools and we do projects for them to leave their school better than it was when we got there in some respects. Another cool opportunity that's come up that I know some of you are going to take advantage of is this hackathon, this Code for the Kingdom hackathon that Venture Church is sponsoring. A chance for Christian coders to get together and use their skills and their training to try to create something that will help solve some sort of problem in the world. What a great thing to do, to take your training, your skills, out into the world and try to make the world better for somebody. Try to solve a problem for somebody using the gifts that God has given you. Well, there's just a couple ways. There's so many other ways that we could go about engaging in good works. So I would encourage you to think about how has God equipped you? And where has God placed you? Because I'm confident that if you look hard enough at those two things, how has God equipped you? Where has God placed you? That there's some place in your life where those things intersect and you have an opportunity to meet a need for somebody, to meet a real physical, tangible need for somebody. So I want to encourage us to think about that, to think about what is that thing that maybe the Lord would ask you to step out and to do as a way of loving our world. So there we have four things: gathering for worship, living in community, serving our church, and loving our world. Four things that I think are critical to us growing as disciples of Christ. But I want to leave us with a word of caution, because if you're anything like me, you like checklists. And when we get these four things, we might take them and we might work really hard at them with the thought that if we do these things, then we've sort of done what we need to do, right? We've sort of gone through the correct processes for getting the correct kind of result. But that's not the way that this works, because following Jesus is not about checking off these boxes. It's not about doing these different kinds of things because that's what Jesus followers do, because that's what Christians do. Following Jesus isn't about that. Following Jesus is more about becoming a different kind of person. Not doing different kinds of things, but becoming a different kind of person. And becoming a different kind of person requires doing certain things. And that's these things, I think. But if we want to become, as we looked at, if we want to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus, we're not saying that all the time, in every respect, we want to be following Jesus perfectly. That'd be great, but that's not practical. What we're saying is we want to become the kind of people who are Jesus followers. We are Jesus people. We've been shaped in such a way that what flows out of us is the same kinds of things that would flow out of Jesus. That the things that we do, the thoughts that we think, the things that we say, that over time, all of these things become more like Jesus. That we become a certain kind of person, a Jesus follower, a Jesus person, a Christian. That's what it is that we're after. So I present these four things because it's helpful to have some things to kind of evaluate ourselves based on. It's helpful to have some idea of how we get from here to there. And I think these things are important for that. But if we only just focus on doing these things instead of becoming a certain kind of person, a person who loves Jesus and knows him, then we're off track from the start. I'm going to leave us with that tonight. We'll pray, and then we're going to split up into some small groups, and we're just going to you can discuss whatever you want from tonight, but think about this statement, and what would you add? Would you change something? Would you take anything out? And then what parts of this do you find easy, and what parts of this do you find difficult? That's what we're going to talk about together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we have together tonight, where even as we sit here, we're practicing some of these very things, gathering together, thinking about what it looks like to live life in community with each other and building those relationships, thinking about ways in which we might serve our church, ways in which we might love our world. I pray, Lord, that you would empower us to do these things, not so that we can feel good about ourselves, not so that we can check off these boxes, but so that we can truly move towards becoming fully devoted followers of you. People who cannot help but follow after you, and who find ourselves over time becoming shaped more and more to be like Jesus. That's what we want. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.